Welcome to Between the Lines, where we journey beyond the surface of Scripture with hosts David and Jonathan. Get ready to deepen your faith as we uncover the hidden gems of the Bible. Without further ado, here's our show.
All right, you're here with David and Jonathan on WVFF 97.7. Coming to you from the studios at Horseshoe Lake, Cottageville, South Carolina.
Waterfront.
Yes. Glad you could be here with us today in Between the Lines with David and Jonathan. We are knee-deep in the book of Jeremiah, and for months now, I'm cataloging what Jeremiah's been up to for months now. God's been sending him to the nation of Israel saying, you guys are crossing the line, and I'm going to bring more destruction on you than you've ever seen in your life, and have you carried away into Babylon. You guys are just to the point. And every time he sends Jeremiah to tell them to turn around, follow after me with all their hearts, or at least do the law, which was put on them as a punishment. You know, we've discussed this many times. The law was not the first covenant. So many people mistake that. The first covenant was given to Abraham, follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. The law was given as punishment because spiritually the children of Israel could not follow God with all their hearts. So he said, give them something to do with their hands. At least they can make an attempt to follow me, and I will bless that. You know, it's like he dumbed it down. It's so easy. It seems so easy. And I say that because at times I follow God with all my heart so easily. Other times I find myself wandering in the wilderness. It's just the nature of the human being who has the seed of the serpent and the seed of Adam in them. It's a constant struggle. That's why you're here, to make a choice between good and evil, between God and this world. And you got to catch episode 1 on WVFFradio.com to understand the seed of the serpent. There were two children in Eve's womb, two different fathers. And because the children, when he brought them out of Egypt, would not cleanse the land, we are all mixed together now. Well, Jeremiah has been on a crusade for months now, telling Israel that they've got to turn around. God's giving you this last hope. And instead of hearkening to Jeremiah, they want to do bad things to him. Put him in prison a little while back. Yeah, you keep talking like that, worse things are going to happen to you, buddy. Kill the messenger. You didn't know that came out of the Bible, did you?
Are you sure that's what God said?
Yeah.
Are
you
sure? You still want to say it that way?
You spend 3 hours on this rack, maybe you'll change your mind.
Yep.
Chapter 26, book of Jeremiah. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, came this word from the Lord, saying, thus saith the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house and speak unto all the cities of Judah which come to worship in the Lord's house. All the words that I command thee to speak unto them, diminish not a word. Now, that is not just a go and deliver this message. That sounds to me like go and stand in front of the house for weeks or months, as long as it takes, so that everyone that comes through the city will hear this word. So, obviously, Jeremiah is becoming quite annoying to them also. Not just the words that they don't like hearing, but man, he's been out there preaching for 16 weeks now.
Does it ever stop?
No, it doesn't stop. It's like the guy never sleeps. And my house is like a block from the temple, and I can hear him. If so, be they will hearken and turn every man from his evil way, God is willing to change his mind, that I may repent me of the evil which I purpose to do unto them because of the evil of their doings. Ah, there we see that again. God doing evil, Jonathan.
Yeah,
how can that possibly be?
Right.
Yes.
And he's like, look, if you just turn away from this, I won't do what I thought to do to
you. Yeah. Well, I thought Satan was the one who did all the evil. God put Satan up to all sorts of evil. Satan asked God for permission to do evil. And then when you really get God mad, he does it himself. Mm-hmm. He says, I'm getting ready to do this myself, like a good father does. He doesn't want to whip his child, but you push him to the limit, he's going to take you in there and, like my dad did, snatch your pants down and tan your hide. But he says, there's always a chance if you turn around right now. And that's what Jeremiah's up to. He's sending him right now to do it again, that I may repent from the evil that I wish to do unto them. Now it shall say unto them, thus saith the Lord, if ye will not hearken to me and to walk in my law, not even asking them to follow him with their hearts anymore, because they know their heart is not in following the Almighty God, which I have set before you. So he's going to say, just follow the law. And we've seen a couple chapters back where he said, okay, forget 99% of the law. Just for one Sabbath, don't carry any burdens in and out of the gate. Just show me you're willing to just do that.
One day.
Just one day. No, I mean, set some guys out there to make sure nobody carries any burdens in and out of the city gate. You know, once you're in the city, yeah, whatever. I know you guys just can't be obedient, so let's just see if we can do this one thing. And they could not do it. So, verse 5, to hearken to the words of my servants, the prophets, whom I sent unto you, both rising up early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened. You're not listening to anything that I'm sending to you through my prophets. Then while I make this house like Shiloh, and will make this city a curse to all the nations of the earth, going to make it desolate. And that right there is a prophecy of the future. After they actually come out of Babylon in 70 AD, I will make you a curse to all the nations of the earth. So the priests and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord. So you got the holy man there. He's just arrived. He's been preaching, and the prophets and the priests are listening at him. Now it came to pass, when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak unto all the people, that the priests and the prophets and all the people took him, saying, thou shalt surely die.
All right, buddy, that's enough.
we don't want to hear this anymore. I don't care if it does come from God. You're going to die for saying it. And a chapter back, Jeremiah said to God, he says, they're going to want to kill me for saying this. And God says, don't worry, I got you back, buddy. You're good. So they want to kill the messenger now. And the messenger says, repent, and God is willing to turn around and not do evil to you. Just repent. No, we would rather kill you for saying this.
Mm-hmm.
Why hast thou prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, this house shall be like Shiloh, this shitty city shall be set desolate without an inhabitant? And all the people were gathered against Jeremiah in the house of the Lord, right in God's temple. Let's just kill him right here. Mm-hmm. That was a big no-no right there.
Yeah.
Once upon a time, if you were in danger, you could run in there and grab a hold of the horns of the altar.
Yeah.
And no one could harm you. But let's kill him now. When the princes of Judah heard these things, they came up from the king's house unto the house of the Lord, and sat down in the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house. And spake the priests and the prophets unto the princes and to all the people, saying, this man is worthy to die, for he hath prophesied against this city, as ye have heard with your ears. Who does that remind you of, Jonathan?
Mm-hmm.
That reminds me of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, this man is worthy to die because he said things that we don't like.
Yep.
And these are the so-called prophets of God, false teachers of God. These are not true prophets of God, and they may have been in the past, but they have come to a feel-good religion where they just speak things that people like to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen that on your television set lately, Christian? If you're hearing it from the pulpit where you go to church, you need to find another church, because that's not what it's all about. God is not into feel good. Follow him with all your heart and you will feel good, because he will bless you. But if your preacher just speaks words that makes you feel good about whatever kind of life you're living, then it's not going to get you anywhere. It's only going to cause you harm. All right, so they want to kill him. So let's see what Jeremiah has to say. Then spake Jeremiah unto all the princes and to all the people, saying, The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and against this city all the words that ye have heard. Now therefore, amend your ways and your doings, and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will repent him of the evil that he hath pronounced against you. As for me, behold, I am in your hand. Do with me as seemeth good and meet unto you. Ah, wow. Hey, I've said it. I can't repent of it. I can't recant it. I can't change it. This is what God sent me to say. If I change it, I have to face him. I would rather face you. So I'm sticking to exactly what he told me to say. And I'm in your hand. Do with me what you want. But know ye for certain that if ye put me to death, ye shall surely bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon this city and upon the inhabitants thereof. For of a truth, the Lord hath sent me unto you to speak all these words in your ears. Be careful, though. I am righteous. I am here. I was sent by God. Be careful what you do with me. Then said the princes and all the people unto the priests and to the prophets, This man is not worthy to die, for he hath spoken to us in the name of the Lord our God. And that reminds me of Christ during his trial also. Pilate came out and said, This man is not worthy to die. He has done nothing to deserve death.
Mm-hmm.
Then rose up certain of the elders of the land and spake to all the assembly of the people, saying, Micah, the Morshite, prophesied in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah, and spake to all the people of Judah, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Zion shall be plowed like a field, and Jerusalem shall be heaps, and the mountains of the house as the high places of the forest. Did Hezekiah, king of Judah, and all Judah put him at all to death? Did he not fear the Lord and besought the Lord, and the Lord repented him of the evil which he had pronounced against them? Thus might we procure great evil against our souls. And that is what happened. Basically the same thing. Prophet was sent to Hezekiah, told him, you guys are crossing the line. You need to repent. And old King Hezekiah, to his fortune, put on sackcloth. He ripped his clothes, put on sackcloth, ordered the entire nation to turn around, and they did. And the evil did not come. And there was also a man that prophesied in the name of the Lord, Urijah, the son of Shemaiah of Kirjatharim. Oh, gosh. Mm-hmm. Kirjatharim. Most terrifying things in this Bible are pronunciations of the words of the people and some of the places. Mm-hmm. Kirjatharim. I think I got it that time, Jonathan.
Yeah, it sounds pretty good.
Yeah. I kind of like that word now. Kirjatharim.
It's going to be a password for everything that I have now.
With a one and an apostrophe.
Yeah.
Who prophesied against this city and against this land according to all the words of Jeremiah. And when Jehoiakim, the king, with all his mighty men and all the princes heard his words, the king sought to put him to death. But when Urijah heard it, he was afraid and fled and went into Egypt. And Jehoiakim, the king, sent men into Egypt, namely Elathan, the son of Achbor, and certain men with him unto Egypt, and they fetched forth Urijah out of Egypt and brought him unto Jehoiakim, the king, who slew him with the sword and cast his dead body into the graves of the common people. Nevertheless, the hand of Ahiakim, the son of Shaphan, was with Jeremiah, that they should not give him into the hand of the people to put him to death. Interesting, when God says to a prophet, have no fear, go and say these things, I will protect you, he does.
Mm-hmm.
When he says to a prophet, have no fear, go and say these things, I will protect you, and the prophet runs for his life, he does not afford the protection, because the prophet, although he did deliver God's message, has no faith in God, obviously. Chapter 27, Book of Jeremiah. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, came this word unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Thus saith the Lord to me, Make thee bonds of yokes, and put them upon thy neck, and send them to the king of Edom, and to the king of Moab, and to the king of Ammonites, and to the king of Tyrus, and to the king of Zidon, by the hand of the messengers which come to Jerusalem, unto Zedekiah, king of Judah. Command them to say unto their masters, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Thus shall ye say unto your masters, I have made the earth, the man and the beast that are upon the ground by my great power and by my outstretched arm, and have given it unto whom it seemed meet unto me. Yes, all of these other nations, the rulers of these nations did not come to the throne by themselves. God is in control of everything, as he said to Nebuchadnezzar, I gave you this kingdom. And Nebuchadnezzar ended up being a servant of the Almighty God. But God saying here that I have mastery over the earth, the beast, and all men, and I do what seems right to me. Now have I given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, my servant, and the beasts of the field have I given him also to serve him, and all the nations shall serve him and his son and his son's son until the very time of his land come. And then many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of him. That's basically spelling out the entire prophecy of Babylon. When Nebuchadnezzar, who served God, when his son took over, they did not serve God and his son. And that's the one where the hand appeared on the wall, scared basically the crap out of him. If you read it closely, his bowels were loosed.
Yeah.
And he did things in his pants that he shouldn't have. He was so afraid. And he's basically saying, after him, I will tear it down, and many nations shall serve themselves. And it was split into many nations after that. And it shall come to pass that the nation and kingdom which will not serve the same Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and that will not put their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, that nation will I punish, saith the Lord, with the sword and with the famine and with the pestilence, until I have consumed them by his hand. Okay, he's getting ready to have Israel carried off into Babylon, but he's also saying here that Babylon's going to gobble up all the nations in the entire region, and it's by my hand, says God. It's not by the king Nebuchadnezzar's hand. Therefore, hearken not ye to your prophets, nor to your diviners, nor to your dreamers, nor to your enchanters, nor to your sorcerers. It's interesting how he specifies each of them, because they all call on different types of principalities and evil spirits to get the words that they want to say. He spells it out there, every single type of principality and evil spirit. Don't even try to get a word from them, because it's not going to happen. Ye shall not serve the king of Babylon. For the prophecy a lie unto you, to remove you far from your land, and that I should drive you out, and ye should perish. Mr. Dave's having tongue-tying issues today. Hey, a sip of water here, it might help. Hey, those weren't even some hard pronunciations there. Those were normal words, Jonathan. But the nations that bring their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, those will I let remain still in their own land, saith the Lord, and they shall till it and dwell therein. I spake also to Zedekiah, king of Judah, according to all these words, saying, Bring your necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him and his people and live. Interesting. He gave them the option of serving Babylon and staying in their land.
We'll be back with more spiritual insights on Between the Lines after a brief message from our sponsors. Stay tuned.